Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody!
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Marriage Story.
Marriage Story.
The meme movie.
We're going to talk about that, but yes, yeah. The meme movie.
What I love about Nicole, she is a mother who plays, really plays.
What I love about Charlie, he loves being a dad. He loves all the things you're supposed to hate, like waking up at night.
She knows when to push me and when to leave me alone.
He never lets other people keep him from what he wants to do.
Dad, you're too far.
I know. It's not easy for her to close a cabinet.
He's incredibly neat.
She's brave.
He's brilliant. She's very, very competitive.
I don't know why I always feel the need to justify our choices, because Jumanji's out this weekend.
Yes, Jumanji's a huge movie that's out this weekend.
Yeah, we're having a busy weekend, and this was a movie of contention on the internet, so it seemed like a good candidate also, though.
Yeah.
So I guess that brings me to my question. Tom, how did you like Marriage Story?
I thought it was very good.
Me too.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's real good.
Okay. Let me amend this.
Okay.
Because I do think it's very good. It's a genre that I don't tend to like. So I will also say I thought it was very good. I thought it was very stressful. Like, a lot
sort of
scenes or me just being like, oh, God, I just feel like the third wheel in this relationship. But it is. I thought it was very good. I mean, in terms of the filmmaking and... You know, the story, you know, it's
and the performances and the story. Yeah, it's good. You're right. It is a genre. Well, I don't know why I was going to say that. It's a genre that doesn't usually, these kind of movies are hard to get made.
Yeah.
Which is probably why this is a Netflix film.
Yeah.
Because it's just a very small drama about two people.
Getting a divorce.
But so, it's weird. Like, it's still... It's sad, but it's not as brutally sad as you might expect.
No, and that's the point. I think that's part of the point.
And that's part of the point. Yeah, Noah Baumbach, the writer-director, has... I think he referred to it as like a love story through the lens of divorce. And that makes sense.
The idea is that in the end, they still love each other is the idea. Is they never stop loving each other throughout. They just... Like, they're a good team, and the movie does that. They show you the moments where there's points where you're like, I want them to get back together, but that's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of about the ugliness of that process, because it's very amicable. There's no bad guys. I've seen this.
No,
is
yeah.
The issues I've had with a lot of the critiques on Twitter is. I've seen a lot of people just say, I haven't seen Marriage Story, but here's what I think. And it was
weird.
It's a lot of that, like people hearing that it's autobiographical.
To a degree, yeah. It's about Noah Baumbach's divorce from Jason Lee.
And I've seen people be like, I haven't seen Marriage Story, but of course he's made himself the hero of the movie because he's a genius. And it's like,
gotta
no,
watch
that's,
the movie.
Yeah, you gotta watch the movie, man. He's not the hero of the movie. He cheats on her.
There's no bad guy, and he is. There is no bad guy, but it's clear that he is wrong about specific things.
Yes, and I'd say he's more wrong. I took her side more, but it's also they like balance it out where like I'm on her side, but then you feel more bad for him, a lot of times because she's like fine at the end, you know. She's
well,
like,
in the final scene of the film with the divorce has been finalized.
Right to the final.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine.
This
we
is,
can.
Well, this is kind of, like I said, it's not a brutally sad movie, but the subtext in the final scene is kind of devastating.
Right.
Because the final scene is he's going to his ex-wife's, what's his name? His name's Charlie. Her name's Nicole. So Charlie's going to Nicole's house to do trick-or-treating with them and their son, Henry. And Nicole, her new boyfriend, and her mom and her sister and Henry are all dressed up as the Beatles from Sgt. Pepper's, which leaves him out because that's all four Beatles. So right. He's just going to dress as a ghost.
Yeah, so he's just a ghost.
He's
haunting
a ghost.
Them.
Yep. He's not in the band. He's just a ghost.
Yep.
And as they're all getting ready, they all go into different rooms and shut the door. And he looks over at the pictures on the wall. He used to be in all of them. And now he's gone.
Yeah, at the end he's definitely like his son likes him, but he's not family.
No, he's not
anymore.
In the family anymore. Yeah.
And it is sort of his fault because it is on her side of it. Basically, he is, cuz the idea that he's like some genius, it's like it's not quite that. Like, the plays he's making are not something I personally would go watch. And I feel like they did that on purpose. They made it real artsy. I think the average viewer watches and they're like, what, those fucking plays? Who gives a shit? And it's the idea that he's got these people in New York who, like, treat him like a god. And he's a genius and he's the center of attention. And this whole time she's just sort of been waiting to start her own thing.
Right. She's been fueling his career and he's sort of not been
receptive
to that.
Yeah,
and it's like he was very focused on himself and just couldn't conceive that his wife would want to do something other than their theater company in New York.
Right. And so like at the end he does move to LA, but yeah, it's like it's not too late, but it's like, yeah, you're pushed out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, again, there's no bad guy or good guy, so I wouldn't say it's completely his fault. It's just, that's what makes it good, is that's like, it is what it is. It just sort of happens.
Yeah.
The way it happens. He's more at fault just because he cheated on her.
Well, he cheats on her, it's revealed when they've already been separated, kind of.
Oh, like, is it?
Yeah, he says I had already been sleeping on the couch at that point.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like he said we didn't have sex for a year.
Right. So yeah, it is just like, this is why I found this stressful, because I'm like, if you've ever like lived with a couple that were in the process of breaking up,
like, I've been the couple that's in the process of breaking up several times.
It's just, yeah, oh yeah, for sure. But it's just like the long, awful breakup where everybody's an idiot because it's just people guided by their emotions. And so they're just doing the stupidest things. And I guess that's the meme scene is sort of...
The meme scene, which it's going around where people are like, these two guys are nominated for Golden Globes and look at this scene. And yeah, out of context and even partially in, even with the context,
even in context, it's silly.
Even in context, it's kind of a bad scene.
Well, okay.
I will say that watching the film, that scene comes kind of towards the end.
Yes. It's kind of the climax.
Kind of. Yeah. Because up to that point, they hadn't really lost their tempers at each other or anything.
Right.
But, like, the yelling and stuff, like, that all, it didn't feel weird. It didn't feel as performative watching it in the context of the whole film. But, man, nothing can make him punching the wall look good.
Well,
isn't
that the point, though? I guess what I'm saying is that it's also undignified is part of the point. And so when he punches the wall, he's not a badass, is the point. Like,
at
no point watching the film do you think that like either of them are in physical danger of the other.
Oh no.
And that's kind of it, is that it's like that's the most violent he gets, and it's still this awful punch. And it's like so pathetic.
Well, it's like I'm seeing the performance in it. Like I'm seeing him and then reading about it, like they apparently did like 50 takes of that scene.
That's exhausting.
And he would occasionally punch too hard and go through the breakaway wall to the real wall behind it.
So it was him trying not to punch too hard.
If you watch it, he's clearly pulling the punch, which it like deflates the emotion of it. And it just looks silly. And I don't know what the solution to that is other than putting like a rubber mat.
Just, making it easier to punch it. Yeah.
Right, so that if he can just punch as hard as he fucking wants to, and if his hand goes through the drywall, it's going to hit a mat.
Right, and we always hear these stories of, like, fucking Foxcatcher, what's his name there?
Channing Tatum. When he punched himself bloody.
Yeah, and it's just like, we shouldn't expect actors to do that. Like, yeah, that's a great performance, but...
That's a great film.
You know, they're at work, so give them a pad, for Christ's sakes. Best scene, I think... is when that lady comes over to watch him with his son, and he cuts his arm open.
He cuts his fucking arm.
That was amazing.
That was so... And he, like, collapses on the kitchen floor. Oh, my God.
It's great, because you know that lady is, like... She's just looking for, like, obvious signs of dysfunction.
Right.
You know? And he's just can't... He's just so nervous.
And she's also his arm open. She's also very odd.
Yes, yeah, that's like, the other thing. She's also it's like talking to a brick wall.
Right, she's kind of an alien.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
for people who haven't watched it.
This is the knife trick. It's just like a thing I do with this knife I have on my you know, like I'll pretend to cut my arm, but I'll retract the blade like right before I do it. And it's like this little X-Acto knife. So like he does it and it's like he has slashed his arm open. Like it's like a suicide cut.
That's what's amazing about it. It's like it's such a disturbing cut. I like how they do it because he does it and you can sort of see before either character notices, like, oh, he did it for real. Like he doesn't even notice. And I've had cuts like that, you know, when you cut yourself and you don't even feel it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And it's so bad, and then it's dripping onto the floor while he's trying to get her out of there. That's amazing.
It kind of reminds me of the scene in The Nice Guys when Ryan Gosling punches through the glass and cuts his wrist.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And it's just immediately like a disastrous, a life-threatening thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit.
That's pretty great.
I was howling at that scene.
Yeah.
He's just trying to pretend that... And, like, when she can't open the door, he reaches up around her to try to help her unlock it, and he's just smearing blood all over the door in front
of her. And she just desperately wants to leave at that point. Oh, it's perfect.
Man. A lot of the... Ray Liotta's introduction, I was laughing my ass off the whole time.
Ray Liotta is fucking... top-notch. Ray Liotta as a divorce lawyer. And of course, I mean, I would say the MVP of this whole movie is Laura Dern.
Oh, it's fucking Laura Dern's so great.
She's amazing.
She's like, it's weird. She's like so...
What?
I'm trying to articulate what exactly her character is because she's infuriating, but also like...
Well...
She's kind of nice, but it feels a little fake. Like she's a perfect character for this movie.
I think what they did, I talk about this with hospitals a lot, is hospitals are a mix of people at work and people in some of the most life-changing moments, like together. And that's what they captured really well with the divorce, whereas the divorce lawyers, they're good at their job, but they don't care.
They're so nasty.
Yes, but they're also, when they see each other before and after the trial and stuff, they're like, oh, hi, and kiss their cheeks, and they're talking about, like, personal details of their lives, like, because they're colleagues, because they don't take it home with them, because it's like, our job is to argue with each other, but that's what I love about it, is that they're so, you know... The two leads are so emotional and they're falling apart. And then you have these two lawyers who are just like, we got this. And they're both like so scummy, but they're also just people. So they're nice enough. Like Ray Liotta is obviously immediately on the defense.
Yeah, it's funny because he meets with Ray Liotta and like Ray Liotta's astronomically expensive. He can't afford him. So he ends up hiring Alan Alda, who's just like this gentle, sweet, doddering old man. And he uses him as his lawyer for most of it. And like right when they're about to settle, he shows up at court with Ray Liotta. And like he later says, I needed my own asshole.
Yeah.
because Laura Dern is so like just aggressive and ruthless in what she's arguing for, like finally he's just like, I'm just gonna get Ray Liotta.
Right,
and
because,
like,
well, I love how they did his side of it, of the legal stuff. I highly related to that. Because the idea is they're like, we're not going to get lawyers. And that's a dumb thing. That's a dumb, already a dumb thing but he has, his whole problem is he has these moments where he's like, I thought we discussed this. I thought we agreed to this. And it's like, no, we didn't. You did. You decided this. So he's under that impression. And then she gets a lawyer, and they did really good at, like, making that process terrifying, of, like, him getting this call, and they're like, yeah, you have, like, 2 days to do this thing. Have you not replied to any? He's like, no, I had to work. And they're like, well, if she can get whatever she wants if you don't do this, and he has to fly to LA, and then he learns he has to, like, pay for some of her lawyer, and it's just, like, they make the legal process terrifying for him, because he just doesn't have his shit together. But neither do I, which is why I related to that particular side of it.
And neither does Nicole, really. Like, she's sort of bewildered by the whole process, too.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they talk to each other, and then the lawyers tell them different stuff.
Yeah, and they both revealed, like, we're both going broke. Divorce is expensive. Every friend I have that's gone through a divorce has declared bankruptcy.
Right.
Like, it's a devastating process to go through.
That's why this movie was so stressful. Like, I don't think I could never recommend this movie for everyone, because it's like DMV simulator. It's like, well, a lot of people have dealt with that shit. You don't want to sit and watch it for 2 hours.
Well, that's like, Noah Baumbach hadn't completed the script yet when he cast everybody. So, like, Scarlett Johansson and Laura Dern had offered notes and suggestions based on their experience, and Adam Driver had his own notes from when his memory of when his parents got divorced. So it was like everybody was kind of adding their, we've all gone through this, and this is kind of what our perspective was and what our experience was.
Right.
So it was a nice mix of all that.
Yeah. It's a divorce simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, and honestly, it's kind of the best case for a divorce, like the best case scenario for a divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have never seen a divorce as amicable as the one portrayed in this film.
This is, okay. I don't know if I can make this comparison. This is the gravity of divorce movies.
I'm really going to need you to explain that statement.
Where we were making movies in space, and we were adding aliens and guns and stuff, and gravity sort of was like, no, I mean, just space.
Space itself is terrifying.
Yeah, and it's that of divorce, where it's like, there's movies about divorces and relationships, but they're always very dramatic, and this was like, no, just regular, best case scenario, divorce is terrible. It's a nightmare.
Like Kramer versus Kramer. It's like, this is not that. It's just like two good people who just can't be married anymore, trying to get going through divorce, and it's fucking awful.
Yeah, and they one of them lives in New York, one lives in LA, and they have a kid between them.
Can we talk about the moment where Wallace Shawn tells Adam Driver to fuck everything, men, women, whatever?
Wallace Shawn is another MVP of this film. I wanted him to meet up with Laura Dern and go on adventures.
Yeah. Wallace Shawn is draining threes every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah. He plays like one of the guys at his theater company.
Yep.
And he's just fucking delightful.
Yeah, he's Wallace Shawn. He's delightful.
Yeah, where he tells him to fuck everything, he's just like, it doesn't matter, girls, guys.
Yeah, it's anything.
Anything.
Like, you're young. You're in the prime of your life and the prime of your career. It's fuck everything.
That was such a good role for him.
Yeah, it's a great role for Wallace Shawn.
It's a good use of Wallace Shawn, for sure.
Yeah, solid Wallace Shawning.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. This takes place throughout a year. Is that the idea? Because
There's two Halloweens, so it seems like it goes through the course of about a year. Yeah,
right. And the first one is the sad ass Halloween where he goes with his.
That's brutal.
They do good with the kid, because also the kid is like trying, like he's trying his best.
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid.
Mm-hmm. No, he's definitely a kid.
He's a kid. He doesn't quite understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have like a little bit of a learning disability.
Really?
Well, he's 8 years
old. Oh, he has trouble reading, right?
Yeah, he's 8 years old and he can't really read.
They give him the arc where, because the movie begins with each of them writing a letter.
Yes.
About what they like about the other one, which is in the trailers. And the, I liked, that was, see, this tipped off, I thought, like, the one thing they do at the beginning that tips the scales a little bit is Adam Driver says that Scarlett Johansson's very competitive. They show her losing at Monopoly, and she's, like, playfully competitive. Mm-hmm. And then she says the same thing about Adam Driver, and they show it again, and it's Adam Driver, like, really seriously competitive.
Really getting mad, yeah.
Yeah. And I like that as just setting it up, which is that, like, I don't know, he seemed slightly more oblivious. Again, it's hard. It's not about choosing sides, but
right. It's all things that she mentions. Like, she mentions he tends to get lost in his own world.
Yeah.
And she mentions he's undaunted in pursuing what he wants. So it's like he is selfish, not maliciously so, but he just is so focused on what he wants to do that he didn't really think about her. She wanted, he just assumed that she wanted the exact same thing as him, and then of course she never really spoke up about it. Like, she would try to talk about maybe spending some time in LA, but she never really. So there's like validity when they're having their big blow up, and Charlie says, "No, you were happy until you weren't. Like, you wanted this until you just didn't anymore."
Yeah,
and
they do.
From his perspective, that's kind of true. But it's just because it's not literally true, though, because it's just because she never really spoke up about what she wanted.
I was going to say, there's stuff where they do it two ways, where there's stuff that they do have discussed that then she's like, I never discussed that. And there's stuff that they didn't discuss that she says that about. Again, they do a good mix where it's like,
People.
Yeah, they're just people,
and they're both good people. Like, there is no bad guy in this movie.
No, and when they bring in the other guy, when she starts dating again, like, that guy is a nice guy.
He seems nice,
and he seems to get along with Adam Driver, and like that's what makes it.
It's painful, but it's like
it's a very painful movie for that reason, because the last scene is him as a ghost. And then they're all like saying goodbye, and like, yeah, the ex or the new guy says to Adam Driver, like, yeah, I'll email you that article we talked about, and like, so they like clearly have had some sort of like connection where they're like,
they've bonded over something,
they're all adults, and so in that way, it's like, again, this movie, it kept my interest the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
It had no business catching my interest, because I was like, you know, when is the kid going to wish his dad can't lie anymore? And then, like, Adam Driver can't lie, and he's got, like, you know, he has to do a wacky thing.
Or when is Adam Driver going to become Santa Claus?
Right. When is Adam Driver going to become Santa Claus?
To recapture his son's love.
Yeah. When is the lightsaber coming? Do you think... Yeah. Who do you think would win in a fight, Black Widow or Kylo Ren?
Kylo Ren.
Really? Because of the lightsaber and the Force?
Because of the fucking Force, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
He's a dark wizard from space.
All right, well, hold on. No, it's not fair to say, what if we give her the Force? Because then that's, you know, that's not Black Widow.
Mm-mm.
But what if Black Widow... Okay, what if it's Adam Driver? What if it's Kylo Ren versus the Avengers?
He'd probably lose.
Yeah, he'd be a good Avengers villain.
He'd be a good Avengers villain, but like, you know, a guy like Thor.
Yeah,
or like Hulk.
But Thor would do the Force lightning, and he could put up his lightsaber. I think that would be a close one.
Yeah, I mean, he's still just a man once you get through his sword and his magic. So like. All Thor really needs to do is collapse his rib cage with Mjolnir, you know?
Like, yeah, like, that's true.
Thor's a literal god.
That's fair.
He's got magic out the ass plus a big ass hammer.
All right, what about Kylo Ren versus Black Widow and Hawkeye?
Kylo Ren.
I knew it before I even asked it.
He would just choke Hawkeye's stupid ass from 100 yards away.
Give him the old Hawkeye choke.
Yeah, he would Skype them before the battle and just strangle Hawkeye over TV.
That's true. That's fair.
Yep. They do have nods to both of that. Like, the son sleeps in Marvel sheets. And
oh, my goodness. They do.
And in the beginning, when it's going through Adam Driver's list of what he loves about Nicole, and he says she's always in the mood to play, and it shows her playing with the son. They're playing with Star Wars action figures.
Are they? Does she have a Kylo Ren?
I didn't notice.
Okay. That's cute. That's a cute way of doing this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. Why are people not liking this movie?
I don't know. I think it's, I mean, people are super not on board with Scarlett Johansson right now.
Yeah, and for good reason.
Yeah, because of the dumbass things she's been saying over the past couple of years.
Yeah. But she does a good job in this. The part where there was, I get why both of them wanted to do this, because there's the part where she's like talking to Laura Dern, and it's this one-er where she like goes to the bathroom and she's crying, and it's all very human. Like, actors don't get to act like this just regular.
Well, I believe this is intentional because Charlie is a theater director, and Nicole spent most of her career acting on stage in his theater company. The film is shot most of the time like a stage play.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like single room sets or very small sets that are either one-ers or extended takes that have a lot of movement and blocking and stuff in them.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I think I can see why this would appeal to in terms of like the craft portion of it. I see why that would appeal to an actor.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
For sure. There's nothing about this film that's like, hey, look at what we're doing behind the camera. It's all just like it's focused on,
it's all performance based.
It's all performance. Everything else is it's what it needs to be. Which isn't to say it doesn't have style, but the style is kind of, yeah, just taking a step back for the actors.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been some kind of heat for, you know, just that meme, that scene going around, people like, these two actors got Golden Globe nominations. I'm like, yeah, they did. Watch the movie.
Yeah. And like people couldn't understand why, cause I think the idea is Kylo Ren, when he's yelling at Black Widow, like he's mad at what he said to her, is the idea is why he loses his shit. Like, I think people didn't understand what was being said as it related to him, like punching the wall and curling up and stuff. And it's like, it's the idea is he considers himself the most in control, and he ultimately is the one who loses control the most.
Right. He has no control over this process.
Like, that's, I guess that's why I think of him as why I keep taking Black Widow's side is, because all that happens at the end, in terms of, not in terms of the marriage, but in terms of their relationship, is it balances. Is like, at the end, he shows up and she's like, oh, I got a nomination for my show.
Yeah, for directing.
For directing. And he's like, oh, that's great. Like, he's happy for her, but you can tell it's like, it stings. But all that's happened is she's just found herself in her career. Like, she just had to break away, and now she's his equal. And she had to, in order for her to do that, she had to kick him to the curb.
Yeah.
I assume, because it seemed like she was the one who was, I mean, she goes to LA, she brings the kids, she's the one who's, like, more aggressively, like...
Yeah, she's the one who's leaving, yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Fucking Kylo Ren. What are you doing, man? Your theater...
Yeah, he's trying to do his theater, man. I don't know.
He could have used if he had used the Force, I don't know, the whole thing would have been different. What about Ellie Sattler versus Kylo Ren? No, that doesn't work.
Okay, yeah, I'm not even going to answer that.
She'd need a dinosaur on her side.
Yeah, or some poisonous ferns from the Cretaceous.
Yeah, what about Ellie Sattler versus, what's Ray Liotta's character in Goodfellas?
Henry Hill.
Henry Hill.
Probably Henry Hill.
Yeah, that's a Henry Hill. That's a Henry Hill.
Because he's a violent mobster.
Well, because he'd have a gun, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd shoot both her and Alan.
Yeah, he would fucking blow Sam Neill's head off.
What about Henry Hill on Jurassic Park?
Henry Hill in Jurassic Park?
In Jurassic Park. Do you think he'd get out?
I don't know, but I really want to see it because he'd be so snowblind on coke trying to deal with these dinosaurs. Just like sweating and right. Bug-eyed.
Oh my god, he'd be coked out of his mind.
Screaming at a tyrant, like shooting his like 38 at a tyrannosaur.
Holy
I want to see that. I want to see a bunch of mobsters in Jurassic Park.
That would be amazing.
Now, Henry Hill specifically would be pretty incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just getting sprayed in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Pistol whipping the Dilophosaurus.
Of course. Just pistol whipping the shit out of the Dilophosaurus. Yeah. Handing the gun over to Laura Dern.
Yeah.
Stash this. Oh, why can't we have this? Why isn't there a machine where you can take a movie like Marriage Story and like mush it in with Goodfellas and then like get Jurassic Park in there and just see what happens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my shit.
Mm-hmm.
That is extremely my shit.
I'm wondering if the other reason people don't like this movie is for my original thought on it, which is just it's stressful. Like
I didn't find it stressful.
I found it very stressful. And not in a way, because there's, for example, we were talking about the scene where he cuts himself. In a worse movie, that would be a frustrating scene. Like in a Ben Stiller comedy where he's like, why am I so awkward? You know, like Meet the Parents, where it's like he just says the wrong stuff all the time and you're just like embarrassed for him.
Yeah.
It's not that, because it's like... It's, you know, like, I don't know. Did you, I had the idea in that scene where I was like, I know this like social worker is going to pass him.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I know that he's more stressed than he should be. So you're just laughing at him because, you know, like while she's a weirdo, she's not like freaking out at anything. And it's like, it's very clear and obvious what kind of, like household she's in, and ultimately that thread leads to nothing. It's just there's a lot of that. I feel like there's a lot of meandering, I want to say, where like the Alan Alda stuff, where it's like you don't really need him in this story, but he's a great addition to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do stuff where he's like, let me tell you a joke, and he starts telling a joke and Kylo Ren just like looks at the clock.
He's like, I'm sorry, Bert. Am I paying for this joke?
Yeah. Because he really wants to be like real cool about it all. And slowly, as he just starts getting, financially gutted, like it just doesn't work. Like he has this idea in his head, and I think they both do, which is like, yeah, it can be nice and easy. And then I wouldn't even say the climax is them in the apartment. I feel like the climax was them in court where all the little things are coming out.
Yeah.
Because
being weaponized by the two lawyers.
Yeah, because they do a thing where you're watching them in earlier scenes and it's stuff where like he shows up and the car seat isn't attached properly and she helps him attach it. And it's all like it's a very human thing. It's like, oh yeah, he didn't quite get the car seat right. And then later they're like hanging out and they're both drinking because of they're going through the divorce and she's having trouble getting down the stairs. Like she just kind of trips a little and she's like, oh, I guess I'm a little drunk. And they say something like, oh, can you imagine how many times our parents were drunk when they were handling us? Because it's true. It's like it's all little parent stuff. And then in court, those are weaponized. It's like she's an alcoholic and he's not like it's
yeah,
funny.
And he's unsafe. Yeah, it's yeah. They're just the two lawyers are just so cruel, like using absolutely everything, like these moments that were kind of like sweet between them because they're like they're covering for each other and they're still looking out for each other
and human.
Yeah.
Like it's ultimate. I'm trying to figure out what this movie is ultimately about, what it's saying about divorce. I mean, and I feel like part of it is that it is a comment on the process because it is a very it's two humans working out something that's very human, getting thrown in this big complicated system, this weird legal system.
Right, other and Alan Alda sort of explains why it's designed the way it is.
And he's not wrong.
He's not wrong, but it is, it's a very draconian system in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because he basically says, like, this is put in place to protect the mother.
Right.
Because statistically speaking, you know, that's the person who needs to be protected in these situations.
Yeah.
His whole thing is he's just like, just do whatever she wants, more or less.
Essentially, and then he sort of learns that he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, he definitely loses the divorce, I guess you could say. Yeah. Again, it's the idea of Laura Dern. That's why Laura Dern, she's very, like, she brings up a lot of good points. Her thing about how God is a dad and no one expects dads to be perfect. And she goes on that huge rant.
Yeah.
That was terrific. But she's at the end where she's like, visitation is 50-50, and she's like, oh, I got us 55. I didn't want him to feel like he... Like, it's... Whenever she says, I don't want him to feel like he won, it feels like she's talking about Ray Liotta. Like, that's what it is that makes both her and Ray Liotta... Ray Liotta definitely comes off more scummy, but, like, I think why she gets a vibe, too, is for her, it's competitive. It's not about...
Yeah, and then she sort of goes back and forth between... Ray Liotta is definitely the bigger scumbag, but I think like Laura Dern's character feels kind of phony.
Feels very phony.
She's very LA.
Yes, but she's great in it.
Oh, she's fucking amazing. Like I said aloud, like 1 minute into the scene where she's introduced, I'm like, man, Laura Dern's awesome.
She really is. Like, and I feel like this isn't a role. I don't keep up with her career that much. But I feel like I've never seen her in a role like this.
Oh, God, Big Little Lies.
I haven't watched Big Little Lies.
She's a lot like that.
Because I always see her. Well, actually, no. No, you know what? I take that back because Ellie Sattler is very playful. Like, she has a good sense of humor. Like, she's an outgoing character. She's just a nerd.
Right. This character has more, this character's meaner. Like this is a nastier version.
She's definitely
of that
meaner.
Character. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the lawyers were a huge part of this movie. Like they kind of made the movie for me. And then we haven't talked about the mom, the sisters.
Fucking Julie Haggerty.
Fucking fantastic.
She was great as Nicole's mom.
Yes.
And the sister, I didn't recognize the actress, but her sister was fun,
too. Oh, really?
Too.
I recognize the actress. I don't know where I know her from, but she's very good. Yeah, where they're trying to serve him, and it's like...
It's just a disaster.
It's a complete disaster.
Yep.
Oh, man.
I read that Noah Baumbach got actual divorce attorneys to look at the script and tell him what they would use as character ammunition against Charlie and Nicole. So that's like sort of where that courtroom scene comes from.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know if I can recommend this to everybody because it's... I you didn't find it stressful. I found it stressful, but again, it's also just... I don't know.
The only scene I found stressful was when Charlie insists on taking his son out for more trick-or-treating.
Oh, God.
that was brutal.
Yeah. Because he has... I think that was the perfect... That really summed up Kylo Ren's problem, is that he had, like, a costume designer make the Frankenstein, and he got an Invisible Man thing, and you could tell he's more excited about being seen. Like, again, he likes the attention. So, like, there was this weird thing where he's like, I got all this stuff together. And the kid's just like, no, I decided to go as a ninja. And he does the thing like, we talked about this, though. We discussed this. And it's like, yeah, but people change their mind. And he's a kid. And it's that where he's like, no, we're going to go out. And he, like, pushes it.
And he's like, takes him to, like, when he, the, he takes like, him, takes like, him to, like, drugstores. Yeah. And they get home and the kid dumps his candy pail out and there's barely any candy in it because like Halloween was basically over when they went out.
Yeah. And it's like, and he's like, no, I want to do the thing the way I want to do it. And it's like, it doesn't matter if it's good or not.
He also wanted to do the, I sort of get it, like, because he wanted to have,
yeah.
He was supposed to be able to go trick-or-treating with them. So he wanted to have his time with his son on that day, and he didn't get to.
And at the end, it's the opposite. They have these great costumes.
Mm-hmm.
They do the thing where it's like, at that point, Kylo Ren feels like he's more in control. And then at the end, it's like, yeah, and now he's the one throwing together the costume and kind of, they have this elaborate thing, and he's just, yeah.
Well, he's relinquished control.
Yeah.
At that point. Like, he's still trying to maintain it in the first Halloween scene, and it's just a fucking mess.
Right.
Like, it's like, you can't be in control.
Right.
Like, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, again, that's why I feel like it's balance, is because he's definitely the one with the more personality traits that are problematic to the situation, but in the end he's like the saddest of characters. Like I ended this felt sad when the credits rolled.
The last shot is kind of, it's sad, it's bittersweet.
Yeah,
he's taken his son away, and then she stops him in the street and comes up and ties his shoe for him, and that's the very last thing that happens.
Right, and we haven't even talked about, because they do the thing, they set up the, they both wrote nice things about each other, and then when they get to the marriage counselor, Black Widow is like, I'm not going to read this. And so they don't end up reading it, and then the whole time is the kid trying to read, and at the end, Kylo Ren walks into his kid's room, and his kid's there reading the note that Black Widow wrote about him. And and so he gets to hear it, and it's like kind of what he needs. Because he feels so pathetic and left out, and then he hears her saying all these wonderful things about him. And it was bittersweet, because he's walking away and she ties his shoe, but you do like that from that letter, it feels like he knows he's gonna be okay. Like, he's gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
But he's just been wounded a lot.
Deeply so.
Yeah. But yeah. Like, you don't feel like he's gonna drift away from this family. And
no, he's going to have to get used to being in a completely different role, in a largely outsider role. Like, he's not going to be part of the family really anymore. But
right. I remember one of the things, oh man. And he cries when they say, when Alan Alda, I think, says like, well, maybe he'll go to school on the East Coast.
On the East Coast. Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah. And it's the idea of like, yeah, maybe when in 10 years from now,
maybe when your kid grows up, you'll get to have more time with them.
Yeah, maybe like, it'll
some
in
real
time.
That's some real cats in the cradle bullshit.
I know, but it's true. It's that idea of like, oh, you're not really connecting with him now, but you know, when he's an adult, you know, relationships change over decades, and he's not wrong, but it's awful to hear because it's an old man telling him that, someone who's experienced this stuff,
right? And he's been married 4 times. He tells.
It's the thing. It's like when you talk to teenagers and you're like, ah, in 10 years you'll be fine, and they're like, yeah, but I'm not fine right now, and it's like, yeah, but you don't matter right now.
Yeah, but you kind of don't matter right now.
Yeah, but you can't tell them that. Like, it's that. It's, oh God, it's. There's a lot of brutal moments in this. I watched this, I think I finished it at like 12:45 a.m., maybe 1 a.m., and I immediately put on The Long Kiss Goodnight, because I was like, I need a palate cleanser. I can't sleep.
I need something that's not sad.
Yeah, I need to watch Gina Davis murder people.
Sure.
And I did. It's a tough one.
It's, I didn't find it quite as devastating, although it is sad, but I don't know. It's a real good movie. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I really liked it. Keep amending this. I enjoyed it. I think it's a good movie. Like I said, it's not really my type of movie. It's too stressful.
That's fair.
It's not as stressful as like, although Eighth Grade is one of the most crushingly
it's like a
tense
horror
movies I've ever seen. It's not on that, but it's just, it's all very human. So it's kind of the most stressful to me. Like, the most tension is when it's just like these human interactions. People should check it out. It's free if you have Netflix.
It's included with your Netflix.
Yeah, it's Netflix free. And it's Kylo Ren fighting Black Widow.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Fighting Black Widow over custody.
Over custody of a kid. Some shitty kid. He wasn't that great, that kid.
He was fine.
Yeah, he was fine. Yeah, I guess. That's fair. All right. Any more thoughts?
No, I think that's a sewed.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
We did
Thanks
it.
For listening.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a delight.
If you'd like to, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have a bunch of tiers. We have a tier where you can get, you can request a movie for We Just Watch, and we will watch it and we will talk about it. So
we will do all of those things.
Yeah, check it out.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can check out t-shirts, stickers, mugs, posters, all kinds of great, awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Just for you and your face.
And check out Star Wars. Are we covering Star Wars? I think we decided to cover Cats.
Oh, I don't know, man. We kind of have to see Cats.
Yeah, I think we do. That's the movie of the month. That's the movie of the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to be talking about Cats.
Yeah, it's going to be on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see some sexy cats. They're sexy, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they're played by
they're
sexy
way
people.
Fuckable cats.
Like, I don't... It's not the cat part that's sexy. It's the peep that's there's attractive people playing cats. I don't want to fuck a cat.